Tonight, you take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, a familiar story early in the gospel account of John, and it's the marriage supper at Cana. And in verses 1 through 11, what we see here is we see in the third day, this is the third day after Jesus gets baptized. We have the calling of Andrew and Peter and John and Nathanael and Philip. So there's five disciples now, five people following Christ. It says, in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the servant, unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And he filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. You know why? Because anything that Jesus does is good. Anything we do for him is good. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested both his glory, and his disciples believed on him. What we're looking at here is we're looking at a physical problem. They had a marriage feast, and these marriage feasts could last for upwards a week. And the father of the groom had to prepare this marriage feast and provide all this thing. And back in that day, you could get sued for not having enough food. So we would say this was a big problem. This was a big problem. They have no wine. And it didn't really matter. Whatever they put in there was going to ferment. And so they cut it with water. But what we have here is we have a issue. And we go back and we can look at verse 4. See, in verses 3 and 4, we see the difference between how man looks at something and how God looks at something. Some things that we think are a big crisis in our lives, God says, why are you worried about that in the first place? So, when they wanted wine because they ran out, Mary comes to Jesus and says, hey, we got a problem here, Jesus. And Jesus basically says, it's really not my problem, and it's not yours either. It's basically, and that the issue here about woman, it's not a rude thing. He's just saying, look, this is not an issue for me. This is an issue for people failing to what? Plan. Failure to plan on your part does not necessitate a crisis on my part. And don't we get that way? Don't we get ourselves boxed into a corner where all of a sudden we have to, help me. And Jesus said, well, is this really what you want me to do in your life? You want me to solve crisis after crisis because you don't plan, you don't use common sense, you don't use the things that I've given you? And And we'll find out here, it says, mine hour is not yet come. See, mankind also gets it backwards. Christ says yes, and the Bible says that he is going to drink wine with us in the kingdom. Remember the Lord's Supper? He says, I'm not going to taste of this until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom. And when we see this issue about Christ, he says, my hour is not yet come. He's talking about the cross. See, Christ did not come down to solve little petty problems. He came down to fulfill his Father's plan. And oftentimes we get sidetracked. Oftentimes we lose perspective on what God really wants in our life. It's not about physical things, it's about spiritual things. There's a lot of people that believe, a whole religion that believes, that Jesus has to listen to his mom. And in fact, they pray to her. And they think that she's still a virgin. And they negate all the other truths of the Bible in doing that. Christ will do what Christ wants to do. He doesn't listen to anyone except himself, because he's God. He does listen to our prayers, but when it glorifies him, he will do it. And we need to understand that this is not an illustration of Jesus being obedient to his mom. This is an illustration of Mary not understanding what Jesus was there for. And folks, we need to also understand what Jesus is all about. It's all about the cross. Paul says, I don't want to know anything except what? Jesus and him crucified. But we want Jesus to get involved in all areas of our life instead of the central part of our life, which is our heart and our spirit. So we see this, and we see Christ giving a command here. Actually, we don't see Christ giving a command. We see Mary saying, whatever he says, you need to do it. And I want to focus in on one verse in this passage tonight, and that's verse 5. What we're talking about here is a lesson in obedience. And it's something that we all need to learn. There's three things in this verse that we need to understand. The first one here in verse 5, it says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The first is a call to perfect obedience. Now let's put this into spiritual perspective. This is how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be as obedient as we can be to Christ. He says, whatsoever here. So when we're talking about being obedient to God, we can't have any mental reservations. You know, those who took the oath of office to the military says, I enter this obligation freely with what? No mental reservations or purpose of evasion. And that I'll well and faithfully discharge the office about which I am about to enter. Folks, if we can make that pledge to our country, we ought to be able to make that pledge to our God. And we need to, obedience means that we do things with no mental reservations. We have no second thoughts about it. In Psalm chapter 135, verse 6, it says, whatsoever the Lord please, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all deep places. See, the Lord wants our whatsoever to be his whatsoever. We need to be heavenly focused instead of physically focused. We need to have no mental reservations when he makes a call to perfect obedience. But you know, that's not the case all the time. Even in the wilderness, the nation of Israel kind of, we didn't want to obey Moses, and they ran, and we didn't want to do this, we don't want to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8, and this is the problem today in our society. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Folks, it saddens me to hear of people that say they are Christians and don't obey God's word. It saddens me to hear people who say they're Christians, that they love Jesus, and that they even try, and they're trying really hard, yet they go and they make great moral and spiritual failure. It baffles me. You know why? They don't have faith. The second thing is, they don't want to obey. They want to keep everything doing it their way. It's not whatsoever is right in your own eyes. It's whatsoever is right in His eyes. It's what He wants us to do. It's what we please Him for. No mental reservation. Folks, I want our minds clear of all the distractions of the world, and let's get focused on Jesus.
Amen.
Because if we get focused on Jesus, we'll go the right way. We worry about certain little things, but we don't have enough drink. Then we will miss the point. We'll miss the point. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. It says, what thing soever I command you. Sounds like whatsoever, right? Same thing. God is willing. He's looking for people who will do what He asks you to do. Is that person you tonight? Or are we holding back? That's what He's looking for tonight. And whatsoever, what thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Sounds familiar, right? See, you know, we get in trouble when we start thinking too much. When we start thinking too much, it gets in the way of our faith. And when it gets in the way of our faith, it gets in the way of our obedience. And we are not perfectly obedient. God's calling us tonight to perfect obedience. And the first point is, you can have no mental reservations. No mental reservations. Remember this morning, when Christ says His hard saying, and the disciples were what? They were murmuring. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knows what's going on in your mind right now. You know, we parents kind of prize ourselves that we know what's going on in our little beady kids' minds. We know what they're thinking. God knows everything that you do. We can't have any mental reservations. The other thing is, we can't have any heart rivals. This causes conflict in our lives. And when there's conflict, we're pulled between two sides or multiple sides. And you know what that leads to? It leads to disobedience. And you know what disobedience leads to? It leads to unfruitfulness. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Bible says this, or Christ says this, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Ye were the servants of sin. You were the servants of sin. But that's not anymore. You're justified by grace and belief in Christ. You're justified by the essential faith.
Amen.
You're justified. You're not Satan's puppet anymore. You're not sin's henchman anymore. You don't have to be controlled by that anymore. You need to have God in your life.
Amen.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the what? Heart. Let's get our hearts right tonight, church. Let's get our hearts right tonight, Christian. Let's get our hearts right tonight, world.
Right.
Ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Whatsoever he calls us to do, we ought to do it.
Amen.
It's a call to perfect obedience. No mental reservation. No conflicted heart. If your eye be single, then your whole body is what? Full of light. We need to be single-minded towards God. See, this verse says, whatsoever he saith unto you. You, individually. He was talking to the servants. But you know, some people are all called to be servants. The call to personal obedience is something that can only be happened when you have a proper relationship. Now, in this case, these were the servants of the feast. This was the servants of the groom's father. They needed to obey to make what? To make their master look good. To please. You know, is there any difference in the Christian's life? What should we do? We should show our personal relationship with Christ. So we do all these things to glorify God. That's what a servant does. Not interested in what we're going to get, but what our master is going to get. In John chapter 15, verse 14, he says, ye are my friends. Here's a condition. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you.
Right.
See, the call to perfect obedience is bolstered by the fact that there's a call to personal obedience. And if one of us is disobedient in the body of Christ, then the whole body is still disobedient. And so tonight we need to be all on the same page. We need to make a commitment corporately that we're going to be obedient to Christ. It's based on a relationship. Would you not want to be called the friend of God? God's looking down on us tonight. He sees our life. He sees our homes. He sees our workplace. He sees how we deal with our neighbors. And he wants to. Have you ever thought that God's up there looking down and says, have you considered my servant Steve? Or David? Just like Job. God knows. Satan's up there accusing all the time. And Christ is saying, no, he's my son. He's my son. He believes in me. See, personal obedience, the call is based on a relationship. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is an estranged relationship. The second one is it's based on respect. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, it says, who is among you that feareth the Lord? I hope everyone tonight has respect for God.
Amen.
If not, you need to get your thinking fixed. You need to get your heart right. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Talking about Christ. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him what? Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Folks, there's two ways to have personal obedience. You need to trust in God. Lean not unto your what? Own understanding. But trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. Kind of sounds familiar. We need faith that will what? Stay. And won't quit. There's too many people quitting. And when you quit with God, you're not being obedient. You're not being obedient. So the call to personal relationship, first is based on relationship. Secondly, it's based on respect. And that leads us to the third point. It'll be a simple message tonight. This is the last point. Yay! Because whatsoever he saith unto you. What are we supposed to do?
Do it.
Do it. Do it. Is God asking you tonight to do something and you're having some mental reservations? God asking you to do something tonight and you're kind of conflicted in your heart? Well, if I do this, then I can't do this. He's asking us to do it because he wants a relationship with us. He wants us to respect us. See, the call to purposeful obedience should be in all that we do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. These are familiar verses. And whatsoever ye do it what? Heartily. As to the Lord and not unto men. See, everything we do has an eternal consequence. If we have to give account for every word, 2 Corinthians says that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and everything we do is going to be judged to see what sort, what kind of sort it is, either wood, hay, stubble, or silver, gold, and precious stones. Even the simple thing, even going back and finding the toilet with a stinky thing in it and flushing it. If you're doing it for the glory of God, that's a good thing.
Amen.
It's a good thing. Folks, we need a total change of our thinking. That everything we can glorify God in. Everything. In all that we do, all with God's direction. We should go where God tells us to go, do what God tells us to do the way he wants us to do it. Why? Because it pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14, it says, but the word is very nigh unto thee. Tonight, God's word is very nigh unto us. It's right here. We're seeing it. We're seeing the truth of it. This was the first miracle that Christ did of the eighth that John writes down here. This is how it started out. It started out with some servants being obedient. We don't know. Go get some water. What's going to happen with this? Going to do some sort of magic? No. They're standing in the presence of God the Creator, who made the water, who made the grapes, who can make anything he wants to at the what? The commandment of his word. Folks, we need to have the respect of who we stand in front of. Our Creator God, who's also our Savior and also our Master. The call to purposeful obedience is all and all that we do, even the simple things, all with God's direction. It says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, thou may doest this. Today I was talking to someone dealing with a crisis. Crisis happened because it didn't obey God's word. Folks, we would prevent ourselves from a whole bunch of trouble if we just do God's word. Why are we so hard-headed that we think we know more than God? Why are we so stubborn and prideful that we think that we can get away with it when over and over and over again the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Whatsoever you sow, how can you be obedient when you don't know God's word? How can you be obedient if you don't read God's word? How can you be obedient if you don't hide God's word in your heart? How can you be obedient if you're not listening? There is no Bible for Dummies book that you can go down and buy out of Walmart. It's only God's word. And if you don't follow it, you are a dummy. God says you're a fool. Yeah. Folks, it's time to start living out of respect for God and understand that we need to follow his direction. See, the call to purposeful obedience is based on all that we do, and it's based on following God's direction, and it's all for His glory. My last verse tonight is this, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says this, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now let's think about that for a second. An oracle is getting useful information. An oracle is getting something that is wise. Something you can use. Something that will put you on the right path. Something that will change your direction. Something that will give you an answer to the problem. Instead of listening to our politicians, and they'll say and they'll speak for 10 minutes, and they say absolutely nothing. Folks, what we need to do is we need to know God's Word so we can give out the truth very succinctly. This morning, we talked about the disciples. Why couldn't we cast them out? What did Christ do? He didn't do the political event. He said, well, you know, there's some mitigating circumstances here. And really, we understand that you're under a lot of stress. And there's a lot of distraction in the world. And you were too distracted. And I understand. And that's all right. No, he says, because of your unbelief. That's why it didn't happen. See, with God, it's really simple. And folks, with us, it needs to be simple, too. He said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Do you know enough of God's Word that you could share it with somebody? Do you know what the Bible says? Because in it is everything that is pertains to what? Life and godliness. If any man minister, let him do it in his own natural ability. Nope. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. God gives us everything we need. That God, hang on a second. Let's just read the rest of this together. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There it is, folks. It's all about Jesus. If you're living your life not to please Jesus, why? If you're not looking at an opportunity to use this as a testimony for what God's grace has done in your life, why aren't you doing that? See, we need a call to perfect obedience. No mental reservation. No conflict in heart. We need a call to personal obedience based on a relationship that we have with Him, based on respect that we have with them. We need a call to purposeful obedience because it should be in everything that we do. Everything that we do. All with God's direction, and it's all for God's glory. Tonight, are we obeying God? Only you can answer that question. God already knows the answer. The question is, do you know it? And you found out that you're not, fix that tonight. We're going to have a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, the altars are open. And come and get right with God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this lesson in obedience. Father, help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be because we're following you. Father, I give you this time. We ask that your Holy Spirit will reign. We ask that you change our lives and help us, Lord, live this truth. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.